to the call from the sun outside. A number of people are away at the City Summer School this week and next. Other people are probably away on holiday, so it's brilliant to see you here. Summer has certainly arrived, and on your way in, you should have been given a flyer like this for our summer series, which we're starting today. We're going to be working through Paul's first letter to the Thessalonian church, even though it doesn't say that on there anywhere, but that's what we're going to be doing. And they were a group who were facing various trials and uncertainties and challenges. But because they were Christians, they were living an amazing life of faith, hope and love. And so it's going to be a really good series for us in the city and for those who work around us, because we'll see how even with the stresses and the uncertainties we face, it's possible to live a life of hope, of love and of certainty. Some of the talks are going to be done by city workers. Others, like today, will have an interview with someone a bit later on in the meeting. Why don't I pray for our time together, and then we'll have our reading. Let me lead us in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you that you are the true and living God. Thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus, into this world to rescue us. Lord, please show us again today why it is so good to follow the Lord Jesus. And we pray this in his name. Amen. So our reading is on page 1187 of the Bibles on your chairs, which is 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and Will is going to come and read that for us. Thanks.
First Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. Paul, Silvanus and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before God, our God and Father, your work of faith and labour of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by the Lord, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come.
Thanks, Will, for reading. Well, the footballer Ed Air made an excellent choice when a few years ago he chose to play not for Guinea-Bissau, which was his country of birth, but for his adopted country, Portugal. And it was an excellent choice because a week ago or so he scored the winning goal in the Euro 2016 final and went home with a winner's medal. So choosing to play for Portugal paid off pretty well. And something similar could be said for Boris Johnson and his decision to back the Leave campaign. So whether he made that decision from personal conviction or from political aspiration, he's landed up as Foreign Secretary. So choosing Leave has turned out well for him. On Friday night in Turkey, many must have had to decide who they were really with. And those who stuck with the president and lived through the weekend will no doubt be glad that they sided with him. Decisions about who you'll line up with, about whose claims you'll stake your hopes on, about where your allegiance lies. Decisions which, for those people I mentioned, turned out pretty well. But what about the decision to become a Christian? So you might be someone who's already decided to follow Jesus and been doing that for a long time or for a short time. Or you might just be looking in on Christianity from the outside. But whoever you are, does the decision to be a Christian always look to you like a really good one to make? So So being a Christian means putting Jesus in charge of your life rather than yourself. Being a Christian means throwing your lot in with Jesus and what he offers rather than staking your hopes elsewhere. And so from where you're standing, does being a Christian always look like a really good thing to do? Or are there times when you think it might be better not to follow Jesus? So do you ever look at the Christians you know, perhaps, and think they're just missing out a bit? They give so much time and energy to religious stuff, and you just can't quite see the point of it. Or perhaps you look at Christians around you in the office and think, if only they loosened up a bit. If only they were a bit more flexible in their opinions or a bit less rigid in their commitments, then they'd fit in a bit more and maybe move up a bit quicker. Perhaps you're someone who's thought about or even are thinking about becoming a Christian and following Jesus yourself. But you know that that will bring changes and things to reconsider, and that would just seem too big. Or perhaps you are a Christian, but sometimes you feel like it would be easier if you weren't. You wonder perhaps what could have been if you'd made different decisions. Things you've maybe given up because you follow Jesus, a lifestyle or a relationship perhaps. Well, as I said, this lunchtime we're beginning our new series in 1 Thessalonians, which is a letter from the Apostle Paul to Christians in the Greek city of Thessalonica. And this group of Christians could well be forgiven for asking if their decision to follow Jesus was really that good an idea. Because this church had a seriously unsettled start. So Paul arrives in their city about 50 AD, and he goes to the Jewish synagogue, and he goes there to announce that Jesus is the king and the rescuer they've been waiting for. But only a few Jewish people believe, and loads of devout non-Jews believe. And this really winds up the Jewish leaders. And turn with me to page 1115, 1115, which is Acts chapter 17, and see what happens next. So page 1115, Acts chapter 17, and I'll read from verse 5 at the very bottom of that page. But the Jews were jealous, and taking some wicked men of the rabble, they formed the mob, set the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out to the crowds. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also, and Jason has received them. And they are all acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus." And the people and the city authorities were disturbed when they heard these things. And when they had taken money as security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. So just imagine how it must have felt to have decided to follow Jesus in Thessalonica. Think of the anger on the streets of Istanbul or in Baton Rouge in recent days, but not directed against the police or the army, but against the Christians and the Jesus that they follow. And this guy, Jason, and others are called before the court. And verse 10, Paul and Silas, having been there just a few weeks, are rushed out of town. And so this small bunch of new Christians, with only a few weeks of teaching, are left in a city that despises them, in a culture that is dominated by Greek pagan sexuality, which many of them have probably just left behind. They're young, they're vulnerable, they're under pressure, they're having a hard time. And they know that they'd fit right back in if they just stopped living Jesus' way. And so is that decision to become a Christian really that good an idea? Whether in first century Thessalonica or in 21st century London. And as you can imagine, Paul is desperate for news about this new church. So turn back to 1 Thessalonians, page 1188. And turn to chapter 3. And I'll read verse 1. Page 1188, back in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 3. He says, "When we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions." And verse 5. "For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labour would be in vain. But now, Timothy has come to us from you, and has brought us the good news of your faith and love. So Paul gets forced out of their city, and he knows that these Christians will wonder if following Jesus was such a good decision, and will be tempted to think, maybe not, because of the hard time they're getting, because of the temptation to return to easier ways of living. And so as Paul begins this letter, he wants to reassure them that their decision to follow Jesus was absolutely a good idea. That however it looks and feels, whatever it has meant for you perhaps if you're following Jesus, whatever it would mean if you decided to start following Jesus, Paul wants us to be convinced it would never be a bad decision. And Paul urges them that following Jesus really will pay off. And they're not barking up the wrong tree. They're not wasting their time. Because as you'll see on the sheet you were handed on your way on, the big point in these opening verses, it will pay off. God is definitely at work in you. God is definitely at work in you. And so being a Christian will pay off. And so back in chapter 1, just over the page, in verse 2, Paul tells them that he gives thanks to God always for all of them, constantly remembering them in his prayer. Paul's got no reservations about their decision to follow Jesus. He doesn't say, look, let's have a probationary period and see where we are. Let's wait and see if it proves to be a good idea. He loves it. He thanks God for it. Because verse 4, he is convinced that they are loved, verse 4, by God and chosen by God. But how can Paul be so sure that they're in a good place when they could very well look and feel like they're in a bad place? As they perhaps feel the fear of missing out and the pressure to fit in, they might not feel very chosen or very loved. So how can Paul be so sure? Well, you'll see on your sheet there three reasons to be certain that if you've decided, or if you do decide to follow Jesus, then it will never be a bad decision. First there, Paul knows that God is definitely at work in them. He knows they've made a good decision, despite how things seem. Because point one, you chose to follow Jesus when it was easier not to. So look back to verse 4. He says God loves you and has chosen you. Because verse 5, our gospel came to you not only in words, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. So Paul's thinking back to when he first spoke to them and explained to them that Jesus' death and resurrection prove that he is the king that they must follow. But Paul knows that wasn't just sound waves and vocal cords working, but verse 5, there was a powerful work of God by his Spirit which brought full conviction. But again, how can he be so sure of that when this church would have looked so shaky? Well, verse 5 ends if you look down. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. So Paul knows that God is at work in them because they chose to follow Jesus when it was easier not to. Verse 6 says that they received the word, that is, they believed the message about Jesus, even in affliction and even with joy. Choosing to follow Jesus made life more difficult. It brought opposition, it brought pressure to go back to their old ways. But Paul says that rather than you thinking that was a bad decision, instead it shows that it was a genuine work of God in you. So you're in the best place you could be, because unless God's at work, you'd never have made that decision. It wouldn't make any sense. But perhaps you're wondering, why would someone then choose to follow Jesus if it's easier not to? It just sounds like a crazy thing to do. Why would, verse 7, the news about what's happening in this church spread to all Macedonia and Achaia, which is all of Greece, and verse 8, even further? Well, because of the middle of verse 9, he says, you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Or as I've put it on your sheets in point two, because you want to serve God when no one else does. So the decision to become a Christian can look like a unwise idea, perhaps, because it looks like it might make, or maybe it has made for you, your life more complicated or more difficult in any number of ways. But if we understand what the Thessalonians understood, then we'll see that following Jesus is the most obvious thing in the world, because it is choosing to serve the living and true God, the real God, when everyone around us is living for fake gods. Verse 9, Paul calls them idols. And for the Thessalonians, they really would have been made of stone or wood. But the things that people around us are living for are just as useless and just as false when it really comes to it. But go back to our question. Why might we think that it's easier not to be a Christian? Why might you sometimes wish you lived for the false thing rather than for the true thing? Why might anyone be reluctant to turn from idols to God? Well, because they're what everyone around us lives for. And so it's easy to live for them. It's normal. It doesn't feel out of place. And perhaps for you, because they're what you currently live for. And so they don't demand any big changes or any new direction. And so finally, point 3 on your sheets. Why would you want to live for God when no one else does? Because point 3 on your sheets, you know Jesus will save when nothing else will. Middle of verse 9 again. You turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So the whole chapter drives towards this verse, because the whole reason for being a Christian hinges on this reality. And that the Jesus who Paul announced to the Thessalonians as the king that they must turn to, as proved, verse 10, by his resurrection from the dead, that this Jesus will one day return from heaven on a day, as the end of verse 10 says, when wrath will come, when the right and good anger of God at all human wickedness and evil and injustice and abuse will be poured out. When those who ask, why doesn't God do something about evil, will ask no more. When everyone who has chosen to serve and live for other things, instead of the one true God, will be called to account for living in God's world without recognizing him. And we know, if we're honest, that by default, that is all of us. But verse 10 doesn't just tell us that there is wrath coming, but that there's rescue coming. Because for those who have chosen to follow Jesus, he will deliver us from the wrath to come. And against that reality, the question of whether it's a good decision or a bad decision to be a Christian couldn't be simpler, could it? If you're looking into Christianity and you're wondering, will this pay off? Just think about that day. If you're already a Christian and you know the doubts and the questions and the wondering if it's worth it, again, just think about that day. Because verse 10, to be a Christian is to wait. To wait even while choosing Jesus might make your life harder. To wait even while you're serving God when everyone around you is living for false gods. Because, point 3, you know Jesus will save when nothing else will. And so while the footballer Adair may have done something well in choosing to play for Portugal, and Boris Johnson may have done well backing leave, and those sticking with the Turkish president may have come out on the right side, none of those decisions will make any difference in the end. The only decision which counts is whether you choose to follow Jesus or not. And for this church in Thessalonica, with the opposition they face and the pressure to conform, and for us here today, perhaps with things holding us back from following Jesus, perhaps with things that make us unsure if it's really worth it, Paul says, look, a decision to follow Jesus will never be a bad thing. In fact, it really will be the best thing, at the best place you could ever be. I'm now going to invite Carl Porter to come and join me. As I said at the beginning, we're going to have some input from city workers during this series. And we're going to hear from Carl what it's meant for him to follow Jesus. So Carl works in finance for Howdens. Carl, if we'd have met you 5 years ago before you became a Christian, what or who would you have said you were living for?
I think before I became a Christian, the biggest thing that I would have been living for was myself. And I've created a framework of things around me through which I think I derived my worth. So my family, my career, my house, my possessions, all those sorts of things were what I were living for, with me right at the centre.
What were some of the knock-on effects of that on your life?
I think those things were okay for a while, but I began to realise that something was missing, and I couldn't quite work out what that thing was. So you come into the city and people will say, oh, he looks like he's doing okay, he's got all those things that should make you happy. But beneath it all, there was a sort of depression there, and where I derived so much worth, I think, out of maybe my career, when things didn't go well, that created a level of stress which became difficult to cope with.
What would you say some of the big pressures or demands on you were?
Definitely career. I put so much, as I said, so much value into my job as defining me, and I took a lot of worth out of the fact that I was working late in the office, was needed, was relied upon, and because I was working so hard, then I also had the opportunity to play hard, as we say in the city as well. So I felt like I deserved those opportunities to go out and enjoy the lifestyle that the city has to offer.
What was it like living for those things?
I guess, as I said, it was good for a while, but it just soon came to a point where I just felt that something was missing.
So let's move on to how you became a Christian. What was your experience of hearing the message about Jesus?
It was a slow process. I had a couple of misconceptions that I needed to work through first. I think the first and the main one was I felt that church was somewhere that only good people went to, that it was a club that I would never be good enough to be a part of or welcome in. So the biggest shock initially, there was all these different people in church, and they were all so happy about this one character, Jesus, and what he'd done for them. And that posed my second big question, was, well, Jesus isn't real though, is he? So I sort of set about trying to see if I could understand if there was enough evidence for Jesus. So I looked in the Bible, I looked at other books, I checked out what atheists were saying, other religions, and sort of come to realise that it was universally accepted that he was here. So if it was universally accepted that he was here, then I needed to listen to what he had to say. And my experience of that was it was shocking. Jesus talked about that he came to save sinners, and the problem of sin came from the human hearts. And I sort of objectively asked myself, if I meet God for my end of life appraisal, would I pass the test? And I got to the answer that it would be no.
How did that help with the other preconception you had about church being for good people?
Yeah, I soon came to realise that actually church was a building full of people that recognised that they weren't good enough, and that they'd put their trust in the life, death and resurrection of Jesus, and through putting their trust in that, they could accept this wonderful gift of being saved from the wrath of God.
Brilliant. We've heard about the Thessalonians and the conviction that came to them. What persuaded you to follow Jesus?
After investigating all of those things, so was he here? What did he say? Was there evidence outside the Bible for him? Could I get to the point where I believed the resurrection was true? I think once I got through all of those things, then the decision became easy to follow him. And what I also found is, as I looked into the Bible and looked at the older books of the Bible, there was just this whole series of predictions about him over hundreds of years that were made by different people about how he would come, how he would live, how he would die, and what was the big problem he was coming to deal with. And that all just made sense to me.
Anything else that persuaded you that what you'd heard was true? Just picking up your second preconception that Jesus was just a figure like Father Christmas.
Yeah, I guess that there was enough out there to say that he was here, that he did walk the earth, and that, as I said, it was universally accepted by lots of different people, Christians, non-Christians. There was evidence inside the Bible, historical evidence outside the Bible. There was real tangible things to look at to come to that decision.
Brilliant. And so you became a Christian, decided to follow Jesus. What's it been like to work in the city now as a follower of Jesus?
Well, it's been good, in that I think becoming a Christian has enabled me to put work into its rightful place, and I'm because I've got work in its rightful place. When things go well, I don't get too carried away, and when things go badly, I don't get too stressed out. But it's also quite challenging. I think once you nail your colours to the mast publicly, there's always going to be one or two people in the office that are looking to give you a hard time if you fail, or if something terrible happens in the news, like with Nice last week. They sort of come to you to make out, well, how could God allow that? And you're sort of his representative here on earth, and you can sort of get some anger and hostility aimed at you because of that.
Mm-hmm. And any other ways in which being a Christian has made life less easy than it would have been?
I've seen relationships change. So where I was perhaps sort of socialising more as one of the lads, and I'm not doing that so much now, due to priorities changing. I've just seen sort of relationships get strained, and I think if you're sort of wanting to hold or sound forth the word of God and to bring the gospel to people, at its heart it can be quite offensive and difficult message for people to get to grips with if they haven't heard it before. To confront people with their sin in front of God is a pretty delicate thing to do.
So despite those difficulties and the challenges that come with following Jesus, how does what we've seen in this passage give you confidence that it's worth it, that it's a good decision?
Well, I think right at the end of the passage, to know that you've been saved from the wrath of God, and that actually on the flip of that, you're now loved by God. I think that just gives you a real feeling of peace. And if you are encountered with difficult things in the office, difficult situations, opposition, whatever it may be, that it helps you to put that into an eternal perspective, and to know that although this is difficult now, if I keep going in the future, this won't matter so much. So it just enables you to persevere.
Brilliant. Carl, thanks so much for being willing to share with us some of those things. Carl's going to be around at the end if you want to come and ask him more questions or pick him up on any of those things. Why don't I pray as we close? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you once again that you have sent Jesus into this world to rescue, to save this world from your wrath. Lord, we pray for us here that we would really believe that the decision to follow Jesus is the best one. And Lord, wherever we are right now, that we'd believe that and we'd act upon it. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.